Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the Code Enforcement Board meeting of February 11th, 2016 to order. Roll call, Madam Secretary.
Mrs. Howe?
Here.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
And Ms. Cudzik?
Here.
And Mr. Spino is here as well. Is
No.
No?
Okay.
I don't know if you missed me or not, but I said here.
All right. Has everybody had a chance to read the... Let me do this. Has everybody had a chance to read the January meeting minutes? Are there any additions or corrections?
No.
Motion to approve?
No.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Minutes approved. Would anybody like to disclose any ex parte communication? All right. Madam Secretary, do we have announcements?
Not to my knowledge, Madam Chair, just there are cases on the agenda that do show that are in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
I can read them into the record if you want.
Okay, cool. Why don't you do that?
All right. We'll start with number 2, CEP 061523 for 118 South Beach Street, which is in compliance January 26, 2016. Number 3, CED 061524 for 148 150 Madison Avenue, in compliance as of January 28, 2016. Number 6, CED 011607 for 124 Palm Drive, compliance February 5, 2016. And then we move on to the new cases. Number 13, CEB 021613 for 630 Byron Avenue was compliance February 3rd, 2016. And number 14, CEB 021614 for 109 Edward Street in compliance January 19th, 2016. So we have a lot of compliance.
All right, good. Thank you very much. Before we go on, I'd like to introduce Carrie Avalone, who is here, who is taking the place of Mr. Jackson, city attorney, this month for us. Thank you for coming. All right, now, code officers, please come forward and be sworn in. All right, everyone, here's our procedure. We'll be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we will hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedures. All right. Do we have any attorneys present? All right. So here we go. We will start with our continued cases, case number 1, which is CEB 11-15-65, Chamisa Holdings in Del Mar. We're here today for a progress report. Okay.
All right. Good morning, Carrie. Madam Chair, members of the board. Carrie Avalone, as she mentioned. David Newell is here to give you the progress report, and it looks like so far they're making satisfactory progress.
Madam Chair, members of the board, yes, we went ahead yesterday and took a look at the property, also spoke with the general contractor. Pretty much most of all of the electrical has been completed. The fire alarm control panel has been installed and moved as requested or required by us. Right now, currently, the engineer who was doing, if you remember from last month, the engineer who was doing plans regarding a lot of things they found, you know, as it relates to whether it was termites or destruction of some sort through construction, the engineer required him to actually pull down some of the front of the front porch to see what was there, and found pretty much a beam that could fall down tomorrow. They are making progress. The only problem with that is they're finding more, and so the engineer, the contractor is shoring everything up so the engineer can sign off on what needs to be done. After speaking to him again this morning, as far as the general contractor, he stated that it may not make the March completion and may need an additional month. However, I will just give you a progress at that point, and he says it probably will go another month based upon engineer and what they have found at this point. But I'm satisfactory with the progress that has been going with this property.
Okay, good. Any questions from the board? So maybe we should amend our previous order of coming into compliance by 3/10/16. No? Or just we'll do that at the next meeting. So we don't really need to do anything at this point. We'll just see you back. Okay. Well, it'll be compliance or non-compliance next month, and we can amend at that point, right?
Okay. Yes.
Terrific. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So cases two and three are in compliance. Case four, CEB01-16-05. Donna L. Ernest and David Nichols at 943 Berkshire Road.
Yes, this was a citizen complaint. Outside storage, an accessory structure, the fencing. There's a pool that's not been maintained. It is secure, though. Peeling paint and broken windows. Mr. Stenson's here, and he could give further detail, but we're looking for imposition of a fine, $200 a day, capped at $10,000. There's been no contact with the property owner.
Good morning, Mr. Stenson.
Good morning. Not much to add other than the property still remains in non-compliance as of 7 o'clock this morning.
Okay. And no contact with anybody?
No, ma'am.
Okay. No, okay. All right, any...
Post, we post the property, or do we serve? How do we get the service?
Let's see.
The notice of hearing and notice of violation was posted, but I also did get a signature on January 9th.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah. Just a question. Is that vote part of this complaint?
No, sir. That's the next property.
Next property.
All right. If there are nothing further, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $200 per day against the respondent effective today, February 11, 2016, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed, motion carries. All right, we'll move on to case number five, CEB01-16-05. Is that Rossi Incorporated? Good morning. Come forward, please. The address is 116 Palm Drive.
Good morning. Do you want to come
up to the microphone? Sure. My name is Cyril Javorek.
Can you raise your hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Javorek, we'll hear from the city first, and then we'll give you an opportunity to speak.
All right, this was violations for off-street parking, outside storage, renting without a business tax receipt. They applied for their business tax receipt on February 4th, last Friday, so they're still awaiting the rental inspection. They're still in noncompliance as of February 9th. Staff is looking for the one-time administrative fine of $250 and also looking for a $250 per day fine capped at $15,000. Officer Stenson is here, and they have been in contact with each other and can provide any further information if the board has questions.
Mr. Stenson.
Good morning.
Good morning. Again.
I forgot to say before, John Stenson, code inspector, my qualifications are on file with the city. Yes, I have had conversations and emails back and forth with Mr. Jaborik, the property owner. he has been working on it. It hasn't been quick. As of this morning, all the violations still exist, the parking violation, the outside storage, and we all know that his licensing is in waiting. So as of right now, it stands that we still would like to have the one-time $250, and we're asking for the $200 a day to be capped at $15.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jaborik.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us?
I did start late. I have good reasons for that, and I'm working diligently to remove the camper as well as make the tenant park the truck on the driveway and move the stuff which is placed against the wall.
Could you share us?
My girlfriend was in the hospital for several weeks, and that's the reason she's out of state, and I'm taking care of her.
Is she still out of state?
Yes, in Georgia.
I just don't know how you can be working diligently. I don't understand that term that you're using, working diligently, when all these things need to be. The only thing that needs to happen is they need to be moved.
Correct. Well, I started diligently last week because I did mail and text the tenant to remove the camper, remove the stuff, and I placed notes on the house this week, and I'm in communication as well as in town today, not only for this meeting, but to make things move.
Okay, that's good. So you don't live in state, you live out of state.
Savannah, man.
Okay. All right, so you were first notified in November about this.
I guess you're right about that.
Uh-huh, okay. Any other comments?
I don't understand why, back to this word, diligent. These are your tenants, you tell them to move the vehicles or you're going to get a fine.
You told them to move the vehicles, or you're facing a rather stiff fine, and they just refuse to do it. I mean, it's not up to you to tow that since you don't own those vehicles.
Correct. I was out of town and not aware totally of the situation. I got the letter of the letter of November in early December, and I notified the renter. I know what I have to do next, which is basically start a procedure. So he does move. In the rental contract, it states no other vehicles than your own vehicle, no campers and other large vehicles.
Yeah, well, I mean, these are how many vehicles? They're parked right in the middle of the property.
Correct.
And
well, obviously, I'm here today to start something, either hire an attorney and make them move, or I don't know if I'm allowed to do it myself, actually, but I'm very upset about this, obviously, because of the fines as well, which I like to prevent, and I like the opportunity to make this correct. Mr. Stenson knows that I'm in contact with him, and I will succeed in doing so.
Do you feel this will be done by the time this board meets again in another month?
Absolutely, yes.
Any other comments from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a one-time fee of $250 for lack of business tax receipt and impose a fine of $250 per day up to $15,000 until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion from Mrs. Himes. Is there a second?
A second.
Second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Roll call. Please, Madam Secretary.
Mrs. House?
Approved.
Yes.
Can you explain to me because I'm not aware of what's going on?
We will in a minute. Just let us take our vote.
Mrs. Hines?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Cuddy?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-1.
So we've ordered a one-time fine of $250 because you don't have your business tax receipt yet. And we have also ordered a fine to be imposed of $250 per day, up to $15,000, until this problem is taken care of, until you're in compliance. And you need to talk to Ms. Hampton.
Is there any way we can avoid that?
If you come into compliance, the fine will stop.
So I get a fine and other people don't get a fine? I mean, I seriously was taken care of out of state and not aware of this situation. And I did follow up writing a renter with the thing, not that it succeeded, but I'm here today to move forward with it, and I would like you to really consider if I can do that without the fine.
We have made a decision, and that's about all I can tell you at this point. If you bring it into compliance, the fine will stop.
And staff has indicated that there's other properties in the city that are being rented out, and you will need to get a rental license for each individual property.
I have rental licenses. You know, this particular property was transferred from my personal to another property. I cannot. My wife passed away 3 years ago, and you know, I'm looking through papers, and that's where I got confused with the rental. I have no problems in applying for rental appliances or applications.
Okay.
I'm not trying to
just
avoid
putting
anything.
That on the record. So. All right.
Thank you. All right, moving on. Case 6 is in compliance. Case 7, CEB 11-15-58. Daytona Beach Club Condo Association at 800 North Atlantic Avenue. Progress report today.
Yes, I believe Mr. Kligg is here. This is exposed and rusty rebar, support beams, and concrete missing in the parking area and balconies. And Mr. Kligg can provide some further detail.
Okay. Mr. Kligg, good morning.
Good morning. Officer Kligg, my credentials are on file. I think the board members and maybe the engineer will speak too, but they did get emergency shoring done and permitted.
Good.
So I'll let them explain it further what they're
okay.
doing.
Okay. Great. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you need to testify, or
is...
No, I'm just...
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Hiller, you want to go ahead and say your name, please, for the record? Yes. My name is Joseph Hiller. I'm from Port Orange. I'm the structural engineer of record for the Daytona Beach Club.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. The contractor has installed the temporary shoring for all the structural columns that were...
Great.
Indicated on the previous structural engineer's report. I had drawn up a plan to install approximately 6 temporary shoring poles. We installed 11. I went out, inspected, and made sure that they were properly placed and that they were in good condition. I wrote the letter and sent it in to the building official. So as of right now, the building has temporary shoring on all of the columns that were indicated. There are, and I'm in the process of doing a full building survey and checking all of the columns, the parking structure, the balcony, and we'll be working with the new board to put together a set of specifications for repair.
Okay. So we were just here for a progress report and the status of the shoring, finding out about that. You're certainly going to need more time, I think. Do we?
Madam Chair,
what are our, yeah.
The previous order did impose monthly progress reports, so it is scheduled for okay. Monthly progress reports
throughout the year. Okay, so we'll see you next month.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now we'll move on to our new cases. Case number 8, CEB 02-16-08. Ihab and Habib and Amira Mansour at 325 West International Speedway Boulevard. Compliance or noncompliance? Okay. Are you all going to speak?
Yes.
Come forward and be sworn in, please.
Good morning. Adele Demetrius. Adele Demetrius. I'm representing Ihab Habib. Ihab Habib.
Okay. That's all right.
Raise
your
right
hand, please.
Right hand,
ma'am.
Thank you.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony
you're
about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, you can sit down right there, and then we'll hear from the city first, okay?
Board, this is for, there's no permit for the awning sign that was put up. It's in non-compliance. We're just looking for the finding of non-compliance, and hopefully it'll be into compliance by the next cutoff date.
All right, what would you like to tell us, sir, Mr.
Okay.
Demetrius?
Okay. I think Mr. Ihab Habib, he have like a hardship in business, you know, and business income, and because the weather and everything, and you know, it costs like a lot of money, you know, to replace this. So I volunteer and I went to the company, Tony Stop, and they're gonna do it. They're gonna start, and I already paid the money, and they're gonna make a brand new one.
A new awning?
New awning.
Okay. It says here that you don't have a permit. Have you applied for a permit?
These people, they're going to apply for it. It's already, yes. I already paid, and I already signed that representative. They're going to apply to the city.
The awning company applies for a permit? Who applies? Well, okay. Mr. Fitzgerald, is that the permit, the application, or is that just...
And an estimate.
Okay.
And what are you doing?
Okay.
So that's not a new awning that's up?
No.
No, they're going to be...
A new.
Why are we...
Yeah, that's what they're going to do.
And you went upstairs and they talked to Jason Jeffries.
Okay, sure.
Did you call go upstairs?
No, I didn't.
All right. My only confusion is that you're here for no permit for the awning sign. Which awning sign? The new one or the old one?
Well, the old one.
The old one.
The old one never had a permit. Okay.
Yeah. Good morning. Mike Fitzgerald, morning, City Mike. Of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer. My credentials are on file. The original awning was put up with no permit.
Okay.
So what they need to do is get it approved through redevelopment. then it has to go for downstairs to apply for a permit. Once it's issued, they can then begin to install it.
Okay.
It's a permit for replacement of the old.
Well, if once you get a permit and then they install that permit, that'll go away, which is the problem.
And we talk about the cover of the owner. Yeah?
Right.
And it's like they need the city. They need to make it professional and look nice. You know.
Right.
And that's what we.
That's what we like. We want it to look nice.
And this the only problem is just it was the money wise, you know. And you know everybody have a hardship in economy.
It's okay.
Nobody make money on this thing.
All right, we understand that. How long will it take to get the permit?
They told me they're going to apply for it. It's in their hand of the city, you know, and between them. And
it hasn't been applied for as of this morning when I checked.
Are you going to apply this morning for the permit?
It's not me.
Is the awning company going to? Correct.
Yeah, I already signed the application that I am the one, and then they're going to take it because they have to apply, not me. And that's
right, they apply for the permit. Do you know when they're going
yesterday.
To? Do you know when they're going to
this
apply?
Supposed she told me it's supposed is up to a day or tomorrow, something like that. Because I told her I'd like to apply. She said no, we will apply. So they are working on it. It's like and they already paid the money. Everything is like it's
but
in
sir,
shape. I feel you know.
Are you aware that the ultimate results is on you?
Right.
That.
Yeah, sure.
Do you understand, though, that it's up to you to see that this permit is...
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm behind. The lady, she said I'm going to apply either today or tomorrow, something like that, and, yeah. It's like, because we just done that yesterday, okay? So just we paid the money yesterday, and I signed all the papers, he signed all the paper, and it's working, you know. There is nothing going to happen like yesterday, you know. It's like
correct.
Everything is going to come, you know.
What is this? Obviously, they're. I think that we can agree that they're not in compliance now. Do we want to just make that compliance date for next month or the month after is my question.
I'm not familiar with how long it takes to get an awning sign put up. I do know it's in a redevelopment area, so
right.
He's going to have to work with, the contractor will have to work with redevelopment staff to make sure the colors are approved and staff is indicating 60 days may be an appropriate compliance date.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So that would make it April 6th.
Okay.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the April cutoff date, which is 4/6/2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number 9, CEB 02-16-09. Maggie and Christopher Robinson at 595 Brentwood Drive, nonconforming use of a canopy tent.
Yes, staff has indicated the property came into compliance on February 6th. However, we are asking for an order of noncompliance so that going forward this can be addressed in a more efficient, expedient manner. So we're looking for the order of noncompliance.
If it's in compliance, how do we order it not?
It's the same as just setting up noncompliance, setting up for a repeat violation.
Noncompliance.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm probably mixing up some terminology
that
you're used to hearing.
Now I get what we're doing. Does everyone get what we're doing? Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in noncompliance but currently in compliance and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence and case be dismissed.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smart. Do we have a second by Mrs. Himes? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you. All right. Case 10. CEB02-16-10, Prime Income Properties, Aspen Terrace at 707 Brentwood Drive. Respondent present?
Yes, ma'am.
Please come forward and be sworn in. Just state your name and address for the record.
Hector Kohler, 137 Cancun Lane, the Tunnel Beach, Florida, 32117.
Thank you.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. Carrie.
We're here for the red container that's no permit for that unit, and we're just looking for the order of noncompliance and looking to come into compliance by the next cutoff date.
Okay. What would you like to tell us, Mr. Colon?
We have applied for a permit.
Would you speak into
I'm
that
sorry.
Mic? That's okay.
We have applied for a permit. It hasn't been approved, as far as I know.
When did you apply for the permit?
We had a contractor because the owner of the property couldn't do it. I was told we needed a contractor.
Oh, hold on a second. Let's make sure we know who you are. How are you related to Prime Income Properties Aspen Terrace?
I'm the property manager.
You're a property manager. And that's a single family house?
What is the purpose of the container?
The renter is using it as a garage to store his tools and his motorcycle.
Okay.
It's been there for 7 years. This is the first time we ever got.
Is this something you can get a permit for?
I believe Officer Klig can further explain
okay.
that there's going to be some difficulties with getting
okay.
the permit because
okay.
it needs to be secured and tied down.
Officer Klig, my credentials are on file. I've talked to Permit Division. Of course, you can apply for anything you want.
Right.
They told me flat out that most likely going to be denied.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's non-conforming use. It's up front of the house. It has to be the rear of the house. Also, those type of utility seat containers need to be tied down, not only the four corners, but a concrete slab. And their building official or building inspector advised most likely it's going to be denied because of the structure. So.
Do you understand what Mr. Klieg has just told you, said?
Well, the fonts itself, it's on a cement slab.
Okay. Well, we can't. We're not here to do the inspection. We're just here to see if you're in compliance or not in compliance. This belongs to the tenant that lives there. So you probably need to get with him. When did you apply for the permit?
Well, the contractor did.
What contractor?
The owners of the property did the contracting with the contractor.
Do we have a record of any application for a permit?
No, ma'am, I haven't found one yet. I can go down again and check, but I've not seen an actual applied permit yet. We talked on the phone. They did talk to the permit division.
They did.
But they actually, no contractor or the tenant, and I've not spoken to them in permit division as it either.
Who would be the contractor, the person to whom that installed that?
You don't need a contractor.
Right.
They just need to be secured. And
right.
like I said, again, the building inspector said that it's going to be difficult for them to prove it. But
right.
they have a right to apply for it.
Either it needs to be permitted or all gone by that
Friday. Right. Right. So we're left with this. It either needs to be permitted or it needs to be gone by the next meeting.
That will be in a month.
That will be in a month.
Shall we vote on that before we
stay there?
Hmm?
If the vote gets
If we vote this way, right.
Mm-hmm. If the tenant is given the time, he's probably remove it. That's what I was told by
yeah.
the tenant
okay.
because I went to him with the letter, showed him the
mm-hmm.
letter. Since that's his property.
No, it's not his it isn't his property. It's the property owner.
The container.
The container belongs to
the
owner or the tenant?
The tenant.
But it is the property owner is the person responsible.
Yes,
right.
I understand.
Okay. All right, good. Okay. Well, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come in compliance by the next cutoff date of March 2nd, 2016, or B, returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. So
thank you,
we
ma'am.
Need the permit or it needs to be gone.
I understand.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll move on to the next case, 11, CEB 02-16-11, Arthur Hafferty and Gary Hafferty. At 484 Gulf Boulevard, no permit for garage accessory structure. Are the respondents present? Okay, just come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record, and then you can have a seat up front there, and we'll listen to what the city has to say, and then you'll get a chance to tell us what you have to say, okay? Go ahead. So state your name and address for the record.
Gary Hafferty, 484 Gulf Boulevard.
Okay. Who else is going to be testifying?
Only if I have to.
Well, be sworn in then. You may have to. I don't know.
Well, I'll swear in. It's whatever.
Yeah, just get sworn. It's not a big deal.
Melanie Leidig. 3131 Searles Avenue, Rockford, Illinois.
Melanie.
Leidig, L-A-I-D-I-G.
Ma'am?
Joyce Peterson from Rockford, Illinois. My father, Arthur, is deceased, and I'm over everything. the will, the trust.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. We'll hear from the city, and then you can tell us what you'd like to.
Okay. We're here, if you can see, the tan house,
mm-hmm.
the garage. There's a white portion on top of the garage.
Mm-hmm.
That's an addition that apparently was put on 15 years ago. This is complaint-driven. People believe it's unsafe. I believe the property owners, it's a little complicated situation, but they've agreed to have it demolished. Officer Klig is here. He can provide further detail. There was the possibility it would have been taken care of today, but it hasn't, obviously.
Okay. Mr. Klig,
Officer Klig, my credentials are on file. I apologize for the picture. That's the closest I can get to the front of the property without anybody being there. Basically, what it was is the gentleman's deceased. This is the daughter. This is the son.
Okay.
They have some kind of conflict between each other where she is the property owner's estate, the representative. He is coming down from Illinois, living there. She wants to demolish it. He wants to keep it. No permit was applied for yet for either a demo permit or, again, I talked to the building inspector, and they doubt this is going to be approved because it's a he'll explain to you what the sidings are made of aluminum, like refrigeration type unit panelings. And the neighbors are complaining that they're worried about a next hurricane that'll become airborne. So, like I said, I'll let them explain what they want to do, but it either has to be by next cutoff, a permit, or demolished.
Okay.
Mr. Klig, does that meet code at all?
No, like so I said, but we haven't had, that's the closest I got to the property line.
Right.
I showed the picture.
Well, that's pretty close.
Well, not really. It's
but
not
what is in there? Well, I mean, why is that
I have
there?
No, I have never.
Okay,
never
we don't know what's
no,
in there.
What's
we
in
don't
there.
Know why it's there.
Only thing, yeah, I don't know why it's there. It's been there for a while. The neighbor's been complaining for years, supposedly.
But it does it have electric?
I'm not sure.
We
I'm,
don't know any of that.
They'll explain to you what's
okay.
in there. But what I was looking at is, I showed the picture to an inspector, and he said, no way they're going to
okay.
get that permitted, you know, so.
Okay, well, would you like to tell us, Mr. Hafferty, Gary?
Well, what
do
that
you
was,
live there?
Yes.
Okay.
What the problem was is my parents were, my mom was on oxygen. That was for me to go out there and smoke and whatever and relax and, you know, time away from them for me and them. And there's nothing in it except, you know, just a couch in there and whatever, a bed. But that's what that was for because you can't smoke in a house with them with oxygen. Boom.
Yeah.
More or less. So that's what that was for.
Now,
for me
that,
to just get
let
up
me
there.
Ask you a question. Is that on top of the garage roof?
No. What it is, it was built in with 4x4s, and this And it
so
lasts,
it's a two-story structure?
Excuse me for a minute. It's been up for 20 years.
Okay.
I think they said it was like 16. But it's been there for 20 years. Anyway, built it like a barn with 4x4s on the inside of it, and it is tacked with a boat about that big around on the bottom of it. That's why I say I was having confusion with it, because it's got 4x4s just like a barn, and I built them for the Amish up in Wisconsin. And it's got the freezer panels bolted to it.
The
and
what
that's
panels?
Went through Katrina and all that, and windstorms. Everybody else's roof around there is blown off.
The what panels?
They're freezer panels.
Freezer panels?
Yeah.
What are
you
those?
You can shoot it with a gun that's like Kevlar.
Oh.
The best that the police use? Well, that's like Kevlar, so nothing's going to go blow through it. I wish somebody would have had a better way to come in there and inspect it better the way I've got it, because it's bolted down just like the house, and it's been there since 1947. It ain't blew away. But it's like Kevlar. There's nothing going to go through
it. Okay, is that...
If they built more houses down here like that instead of their roofs, they probably wouldn't have the problems
okay.
they got.
When did you build this?
We moved down here in 95, it was 96, and we had a permit for the back porch, and my dad had, in the start of dementia, and we pulled a permit for the back porch, and I don't know, I thought he pulled a permit for that, I don't know, I was kind of sickly at that time, too. But if they built more buildings down here like that, they wouldn't have stuff running through them like they got this, they just got styrofoam and then stucco on the outside of it.
Okay.
I mean, I
have
a sign.
We're not here to
yeah,
talk
okay,
about
anyway.
That.
Yeah, okay.
Go
but
ahead.
I'm trying to resolve the problem.
Let's move forward with this discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. Mrs. Himes has a question for
Mr.
you.
Mr. Clegg, I'm looking at that. But I want to know, if it's not built on top of the garage, is it on the side?
No, it's
no,
built right.
Excuse me, I think she asked Mr. Klieg that.
As far
question.
As I can see, it was built on top, and that's what the neighbors told me. Like I said, I have not been inspected on top of it because that was a front property setback line. And this gentleman, supposedly, I thought he lived in Wisconsin because he told me that he was going to be down here for a month. And I came to his house a couple of times, and I could not get an inspection of it. But when I looked at it, it appeared it is attached to that back of that garage.
Yeah.
Plus. So.
Yeah, it's bolted in with bolts that bigger.
So this is, let me ask you a question. This, because the inspectors haven't been able to get in, because you haven't,
yeah,
they need your permission to do that.
That's what I need, for somebody to tell me what I need to do.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is that structure attached to the garage?
Yes, ma'am, it
okay.
is.
Okay, is that structure... two stories.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a two-story.
It's two-story
well,
structure.
Isn't the issue that he hasn't got a permit?
Right,
that's
and the
issue
is that you don't have a permit. Would you like to testify? You are Melanie Ladig?
Yes. Just wanted to say he built it on top of the back portion of the garage. They had a long garage, and there's... You know, you got the front of the garage, which you can see the ceramic tiles. That sits back on the back portion of the garage on top of it.
Well.
And yes, he didn't. Apparently, they said that permit didn't pertain to that part of it,
okay.
which they
yeah.
thought they did it.
We're not architects
right.
here.
That's
it
correct.
Says they need a permit.
Did you want to testify, Ms. Peterson, at all? You're welcome to. Mm-hmm. Please come forward.
Can I sit down?
Yes, please.
My dad, he's deceased, as I told you, since 2009. I don't believe he had anything to do with this building. My mother was not on oxygen. She had a lung problem, but she was not on oxygen. I flew down here from Rockford January 16th, I went to the property, and I was asked to leave by my brother and his girlfriend, which has nothing to do with the estate.
Okay.
I talked to him on the phone.
Mr. Klieg.
Mr. Klieg,
uh-huh.
yes. And I tried to get this settled before I had to fly down. But I don't know what to do. I can't
okay.
get on the property. My hands are tied. This is the the trust and the will and everything. I have, but...
So the house is in a trust at this point?
Yes.
And you are one of the trustees?
Yes.
Is Mr. Rafferty Gary a trustee?
He's part owner. My dad's part owner. But there are four other kids. And we...
Are they all trustees?
Yeah. Wickersham and Bowers is taking care of all this.
Okay.
So,
all right. So
I asked for, well,
go ahead. You asked for what?
The attorney asked me to ask for us
an extension?
Yeah. So because he's got to get
for what purpose?
Because he's got to get the trust and the co-trust and all that stuff through legal.
So go ahead, Mr. Jones.
You are the trustee of the trust.
Yes.
And this gentleman here is also the trustee of the trust?
No. No.
Okay. Where is that person that is the other trustee?
He's in Rockford, Michael Hafferty.
Is he an attorney? Is he
no, he's
brother?
My brother. There's two. My dad made his will out executor, and he was also smart enough to put a co-executor. So I'm the executor, and my brother's a co-executor. So he wanted all avenues covered, I guess.
Is the property an asset of the trust?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Does this gentleman have a lease on the property that we're talking about now?
No.
That said you can't come on the property? Well, if you're the trustee and it's an asset of the trustee, you have the right to go on the property.
I know. I called the police when they told me to get off. I called the police. It's recorded. They told me I had to go through legal.
Yeah.
I had to get a lawyer to go, so I haven't been able. I've been down here since the 16th, and I haven't been able to get on the property.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Mrs. Himes, do you have something you want to add? All right, here's the issue.
Yes, no.
Okay, here's the issue before us. This either needs a permit, because there has been no permit applied for, or it needs to be demolished, so to come into compliance. There are two things.
We still need a permit to do that, too.
And you need a permit to demolish it. Clear? Okay. So, and our responsibility is to find out whether this property is in compliance or non-compliance. Are there any other questions for code or from the board?
We're going to make this clear that either they have to have evidence of the permit being applied for by the next meeting to
it sounds,
or they need to have a permit applied to demolish it, one or the other.
Right. Staff's position is obviously it's in non-compliance. We're looking for to give the trustee 60 days to possibly get...
Okay.
It sounds like she's working with the attorney and trying to safely go on the property and try to get this taken care of. So staff would look for 60 days.
Yeah.
To
okay. That's fine.
The other issue is that our property is just as unpermitted building. It's been very vacant. They should be living in there.
It should be the property should remain vacant. Nobody should be able to be in there. It's unpermitted property.
You're not living in that.
No.
Okay.
No one.
Yeah, but want to make sure that nobody. Yeah, but that's what keep it in the order. Nobody can live there. Go rent it out. You can't live there.
Can I say something? No, not right now. Thank you. I think that we're going to move forward.
Okay.
The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by cutoff date in April, which is the 6th of April, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. The board further orders that no one live in the accessory structure that is unpermitted.
Live or use.
Or used. All right. So
we define what compliance is. Either he's got a permit or to...
How he comes into compliance is up to the code people, not up to us. Right now, it's not in compliance for several reasons. It's not permitted, and...
You don't need to define it in your order.
Right, we don't need to define that in the order.
The city is just looking for you to demolish,
right.
And
right.
Either A, permit for demolish or
right.
Demo, or B, permit for the accessory structure.
Right, that doesn't need to be. Okay. So...
No.
Why? I don't think so. So I have a motion. Do I have a motion?
I didn't hear what you didn't think so to.
Okay, here. All right, I'm going to restate the motion. And
can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
Who is the respondent here?
It sounds like our...
Trustee of the estate.
Yeah, trustee.
Okay, I just want to make sure they're the respondent. Are you the other trustee? Are you in agreement?
No.
Are you and the other trustee in agreement?
I just want to verify...
Hold on, please, a sec. Are you and the other trustee who isn't here, are you agreeable together, or are you having a problem as well? Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me, I'm going to stop this discussion.
The other trustee, because you're two of you, you're both trustees, correct?
Yeah.
Do you and the other trustee, are you in agreement with your decisions on what you're going to do with this property? Or are you having a disagreement with the other trustee?
The property's going to be sold or bought.
All right,
we just want to be within code. I mean, if it has to be, if whatever it has to be, it has to be.
So you are in agreement, you'd work together on whatever.
Yeah, my siblings want.
Not siblings, you said there's two.
Yeah, Mike.
We don't care about the other ones, okay. Just the other trustee.
Yeah, he just wants it to be in code.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Our responsibility is to either find this property in compliance or non-compliance. So I'm going to restate what I said before. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance in order the respondent to come into compliance by the April cutoff date, which is April 6, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day, and further orders that the accessory structure is not used for any purpose.
So moved. Second.
All right. A motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, and we're going to move on to case number 12, CEB 02-16-12, James D. King and Joanne DeBaron at 507 Jessamine Boulevard, non-conforming use short-term rentals. We're here today to decide whether there's compliance or non-compliance. Please come forward and be sworn in.
Hello.
You say your name, please?
Joanne DeBaron King.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm what the testimony you're about to provide is the truth and not the truth?
Yes, I do. My husband isn't here. He suffered a heart attack at the neighborhood watch meeting, so we are recovering from that.
Hi. I probably need to disclose that this is a neighbor of mine. I don't have any reason to see why it would affect my judgment at this point.
We haven't had tea or wine or anything.
Right. You didn't have tea or wine.
No. Okay.
I have hired an attorney.
All right. You know what? I'm going to just pass the gavel to my co-chair.
Cool.
Okay, to my vice chair, just to be on the safe side here. And let you run this portion.
Yes. Madam Chair, this property was being advertised for short-term rentals. We've had contact. She's got Alex Ford as an attorney. They're pursuing a special use permit. They've stopped advertising it for short-term rentals, and they're trying to come into compliance. So we're simply here for the finding of non-compliance and just looking for compliance by next cutoff.
Is there any questions?
Mr. Clegg has something to add.
Officer Clegg, my credentials are on file. Not only the noncompliance, but we're probably going to have to issue a progress report. I talked to the attorney, Mr. Ford, yesterday. I talked to our people. And it's since it's under historic district, and it's going to be advertised to the neighbors, that it's going to take numerous months. So we're looking maybe 3 to 5 months down the line before it gets approved. And some of the conditions, like she has to live on the property, serve breakfast, and so forth, needs to be in compliance. So it's going to be, like I said, 3 to 5 months probably for approval. That's if it passes. So right now, non-compliance and progress report probably.
I have several questions. You're saying that they've taken it off as short-term rentals.
As far as I know, she took it off on her one website, Air.
And that was the non-conforming
Airbnb, which is bed and breakfast. Oh, but I'm not sure about any other
bed
internet.
Bed and breakfast is a little different than I was imagining short-term. I thought they meant renting.
No, she was renting
30 or 60 days.
No, she was renting every night for $150 a night.
Okay,
not
this
as
is
a bed and breakfast.
A B&B? Being used as a B&B, but not advertised as a
B&B? No, she was advertised under the B&B, but she was doing short-term rentals as $150 a night. And as far as the complaint, it said there was no breakfast being served or so forth. So, therefore, it was not only it's not conforming, but it was not under. She advertised under the bed and breakfast, but she rented.
Really, a motel?
Basically, short-term rentals, so $150 a night, so.
And you're not doing that anymore?
It's here's the site. It's off.
Well,
the site.
I don't have that, ma'am.
Oh, I can give you that. You have it? Okay. Can you try if you want to see it? Okay, it's off all of the sites. And it wasn't a nightly. Okay, what I was doing is a short-term rentals, and I bought the house for the short-term rental.
Well, could we stop with the short-term rental? How long is a short-term rental?
I go from 3 to a week, 3 days to a week.
3 days to a week.
And I have a month to investigate the people that came in. I would do a background check on them. Not anybody can just knock on the door and rent the house. It was because I have 7 grandchildren, and I was very particular on who I took into the house. My house is all done up with $30,000 worth of antiques. It's all 1920s. And so I was very particular as far as who came into the house. There's never been any complaints to the police. Everybody has been doctors, race car drivers, professionals. It's not a hooker house, and it's not a daily rental where somebody can come and actually.
But we have certain regulations.
I understand that now.
And so what you have done, now that you understand it, is take it off the market for that use.
Yes.
And you are hiring a lawyer to do what?
We're trying to go for a bed and breakfast. I would like to make it into a legal bed and breakfast and use it as a bed and breakfast type place.
Okay.
We live in the back house.
Until such time as you're legalized, how do you plan on using the property?
Well, right now, since my husband's had a heart attack, we have friends and family coming in and helping out and taking care of him, and we're trying to decide if we're actually going to do that or we're going to move into the front house ourselves. We're all up in the air on that. And I have a meeting with the attorneys, and we're discussing all the options because we don't know if the Disability Act is going to destroy the house by putting in, you know.
Currently,
so there's a million.
Currently, you're not using this as an income-producing property.
At this moment, I took it off the market, and I am not advertising for it.
Okay, but I have one question. This address is a historical sign.
Yeah. Yes, it's in Seabreeze.
Okay.
It's an historic district, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And may I add, for a short-term rental like that, a B&B has to be a T2 district or, in her case, a historic district. Otherwise, if she's a couple blocks north, she wouldn't be able to qualify.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And I have all the applications that are about to be filled out and sent in for it.
So it is non. We're asking
not being
for a non-compliance and
come into compliance.
And to come into compliance by April 16th.
I think it's 3 to 5 months. Do we want a progress report?
Yes.
Okay, so 4-6.
4-6-16. We would like to have a progress report by 4-6-16 and to
Okay, I'm sorry, the meeting date, 4/14.
4/14.
4/12. It says?
April 12th.
No, it says
4/6.
No, that's the compliance day.
Right.
Okay. That's the cutoff day.
The meeting says 4/14 on my.
Yeah, I got 4/14 here also.
We'll get there.
It is 4/14.
Okay. So my compliance is the cutoff is 4/16, and compliance is 4/14/16.
Well, do you want to bring it back to act on it next month, or do you want to give her some
progress report?
Okay, so then the progress report of 4/16. When do you want to bring it back for action? 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we want to add something that just would make it perfectly clear what we're saying, that there will be no short-term rentals of this property until the permit is issued for that? So that we don't have any misunderstanding, or maybe we don't need to. I don't know. I'm asking the attorneys.
It's in the record.
I think, yeah, it's in the record.
Okay. Okay.
So compliance by July 14th or 6th? 6th.
6th.
Okay. Compliance by July 6th. Barely get through this. Do I have a motion, please? And...
So moved.
Okay. Amy, would you restate the motion for us? All right. Okay, let's restate the motion.
The motion was to find them in non-compliance, get a progress report at the next meeting, and bring them back on come into compliance by July 6th cutoff date.
Progress report the next meeting or the April meeting?
The April meeting. Sorry, the April meeting. Excuse me. The April meeting. The April meeting.
15/16.
Mm-hmm. Bring them back and
come.
Sixth, hearing to impose fine on July, whatever the date is.
Right, the 14th.
And the progress report is to indicate how they are progressing on new permitting.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. It was motion by...
Do we have a motion?
Didn't we just vote on the motion?
So we don't have to have a motion.
We need a motion.
Okay.
We need
what's somebody make?
Need a maker.
We need a maker of the motion.
Maker.
Mr.
We got a maker.
Second.
Got a second.
It's been moved in by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Harrington. All in favor?
Aye.
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 It's been moved and properly second.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Now, let's move on. To case number 15. Because 13 and 14 are in compliance. Case number 15, CEB 02-16-15, Eschmeyer Real Estate Holdings at 815 Lenora Street. Demolition and renovation without permits. Are the respondents present?
I believe we have some on here. I'm already
having one. Okay. Please come forward. State your name and address for the record.
Nicole Chalkin, 2700 Harbortown Drive, Merritt Island, Florida.
What's your last name, ma'am?
Chalkin, C-H-A-U-L-K-I-N.
Can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
May I ask what your relationship is to Eschmeyer Real Estate?
He hired us to do the demo, and we thought he already had the permits.
She's the contractor?
So would you be the contractor?
No, I work with the contractor.
You work with who is the contractor?
Barfield.
And Barfield?
Yes, Barfield.
And you work for Barfield?
I work with them. I don't work for them. I work with Kevin.
What does that mean? Does he pay you?
We have I don't know, we do work for him and then he pays us.
What kind of work?
We, like he buys houses as well. And he, you know, hires us to go in and...
So you'd be a subcontractor?
Not really a subcontractor, because we don't do...
Okay, so I'm not sure why you would be testifying.
Because he's in Colorado.
Well, who's in Colorado?
Brett, the owner of the house. He bought it on auction.
Do you have...
Yes, I do.
Brad is... The owner of Eschmeyer Real Estate Holdings?
He's the owner of the 815 Lenora property.
Okay.
You're obviously at a disadvantage.
Right. This is not your fault.
Maybe you could... Who is Brad?
Brett. He is the owner...
His last name.
I don't know how to say it.
You don't know his name?
Eschmeyer. Eschmeyer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And... Does someone live at this house?
No. He bought this house on auction through the internet, and he never seen it.
All right. Well, let us hear from... I'm going to give you a chance to explain what you'd like to explain as either a witness or... If you have permission from the owner to speak, that's fine. So why don't you just have a seat, and we'll hear from the city first. Carrie.
As it was cited, there was a structure demolished without permits, and the main structure was being renovated without permits. It appears there's some sort of dispute going on between the owner and the contractor. So the city's position is we're just looking for the order of noncompliance, and we'd like the next cutoff with a fine certain. There were permits applied for on December 11th, 2015, and they're currently on hold.
Mr. Stenson, can you... Tell me about this property and why the permits are on hold.
Yes, ma'am. As you can tell by the pictures, the structure that is actually still standing is the main house. That's the 815.
That's the main house.
It's the main house. To the south of the property was a large structure, garage, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Demolished without permits, completely gone by the time I got there.
Okay.
In addition to that, the main house, the main building, as you can tell by the photographs, they've already begun renovations and installing the windows, and interior work had already begun when I came out and posted my stop work order. The workers did stop when I posted the stop work order. I have been in contact 3 times with the actual owner, and he's under the assumption that the contractor... got all the proper permits. I advised him that that wasn't the case, and basically nothing has happened since then. The permits have been applied for. They're under review. I don't know what the decision is going to be from the building department.
Right.
But
now, I saw dates on those pictures from 2012.
Yes, ma'am. This property has been an issue for quite some time. This is not my first case on the property. Like you said, yeah, pictures back from way 2012.
Uh-huh.
That's just to illustrate the secondary structure that was there.
Okay.
The current pictures, like this is one of the current pictures. That's where it used to be. The concrete slab is still there, so it wasn't even demolished properly.
Okay. All right.
It may help to know that it looks like the property was purchased in June of 2015 at a tax sale.
Okay. So these are new owners.
This is a new owner.
Okay.
Since June of 2015.
Mm-hmm. The city recommends...
We are asking for the obtaining of the required permits, one for the demolition and one for the renovation.
All right. Ms. Chalkham, we'll hear from you if you have anything to say.
I don't. All I know is I was supposed to come here.
Come up and speak into the mic, please.
All I know is I was supposed to come here today and say that the contractor is working on the permits. We have the land survey done. The electrical permit is being taken care of. And I don't have anything else
to
say.
Okay, thank you. Okay, no, that's all right. Thank you. All right, so what we're going to do, Chair will entertain a motion. Does anybody have any comments?
No.
From the board? Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date of March 2nd, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you.
5 minutes, please.
Yeah. All right. We are going to take a 5 minute recess right now. All right. I'd like to reconvene our meeting at 10:21. We have one more case on the agenda. It's a request for a waiver. The applicant is Rolling Rebel LLC, doing business as Bad Boy Saloon at 601 Main Street. Please come forward, sir, and be sworn in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, sir? Lou DeRosa. Yes.
Madam Chairman, do you want the staff to give us the background?
Yes, please. We need some background here.
Mr. Sino, I was actually just going to defer to Mr. DeRosa.
Okay.
We're here on his motions.
But I think the procedural issues we have to discuss, the fact why he's here procedurally.
Okay.
Because I understand the magistrate recused himself. I need to put that on the record.
Okay. Yes, not Mr. DeRosa. The site at 601 Main Street. Sure, yeah, give me a little room. That'd be great.
Get sworn in.
Who?
Mr. DeRosa?
Were we just swearing in?
Sorry. Okay, yeah. I was looking. So.
I just want to try to educate the board how we got here.
Okay. Did you do that? Or okay. All right. So back in October 20, I'm not sure if this is the same case, but 2014, there was a notice of violation for prohibited signs and banners and outside storage. Danny Garcia was out on the property. He made contact, I believe, with Mr. DeRosa, let him know about the violations. Okay. Well, I'll present my case and then
right.
you can
We'll give
your
you
case.
A chance, Mr. DeRosa.
So the property owner, Tlaib LLC, was notified of the hearing. Mr. Garcia had verbal contact with the tenant. The property owner was the one who received the notice of hearing. So there was a hearing on January 13th. There was an order of noncompliance entered. They were to come into compliance by February 4th. They came into compliance with the outside storage and the other violation, but the banners remained up, and the banners continued to remain up for 50 some odd days. So a fine was entered. It accrued up to $15,000. The business owner applied to participate in Biketoberfest and was denied based on that order of noncompliance at that site. Since that time, these orders were entered by the magistrate, the tenant appeared before the magistrate and asked him to recuse based on a separate lawsuit. So Vakelger recused. It was brought over to this board last month for consideration of a waiver to allow him to participate. This board sent it to the City Commission for their consideration because there were two
of the parties at the point.
Right. The parties, the city and the
property owner.
Property owner was right, here too right. at that time. They sent it to the City Commission because it was a waiver from two different provisions. There's one for TPAs and there's one for special events. The Quota Enforcement Board or the Special Magistrate does not have the ability under our code to grant a waiver from the Special Events section. Only the City Commission did. So because of that, they said, well, let's have the city commission consider both sections of the code. It went to the city commission. They did not choose to act. They just, so essentially the, it was denied. So we're back here on Mr. DeRosa's motions, and I believe if you have more questions for me, but I could probably step aside and let him present his motion to the board to essentially rehear.
When you say the city commission, did this actually go to the city commission for a vote?
Yes. It was presented to the city commission, and the city commission took no action. It was silence.
No, there was no vote, no action.
It just sat there.
Which is, in effect, a denial. So that's a little procedural history.
No, there was no action.
So we don't know what their thought was.
We were told that the city and the defendant were in agreement that they could get us to waive it and send it to the city, they would take it.
Well, they would hear it.
They would hear it.
Hear it. Right. Oh, okay. Hear it.
We just agreed to move it forward to the city commission.
Okay. And this gentleman is the
business owner.
But the complaint is against
the property owner,
who is not represented here.
Correct. And the prohibition applies to properties that have been cited, and they are not allowed to participate for 3 years. So based on the property owner's citation, they cannot participate in the TPAs or special events.
So what is the business owner doing here instead of the landlord, the property owner? No, I'm asking you. I think he's here because you told him it's okay.
No, I didn't tell him it was okay. He made a motion to be on this agenda. It's up to the board whether or not you want to hear this matter.
Normally this board says we're talking to the property owner.
Absolutely.
And it is the city's position that he does not have standing to present this motion.
That's our first question. Do we want to hear the matter?
Yeah.
Then if we decide we want to hear the matter, right, then we'll deal with the request for the waiver. But at this point, that's not in front of us.
Go ahead, sure. Mr. DeRosa. I'm sorry.
Okay. First of all, the facts that were presented to you by city attorney are conflicting. And first and foremost is the recusal. The magistrate recused himself from this case because he knew and he admitted to the facts that were alleged that there was a conflict of interest. So there's no opening, there's no reasoning for him why he recused himself. He was told why he needed to recuse himself. He admitted it on the record. He admitted to the facts, and he did recuse himself. Now, what he did was he recused himself and then passed the case on to the city board, which I feel he should have sent it on to another magistrate, because a magistrate would only have the same authority that he has. I don't know if the board has the same authority as the magistrate.
We have the same authority.
Same authority.
I'm a little confused on that. I'm a pro se litigant. I'm not an attorney. Did a little bit of research on it. And we had a motion that was pending before Judge Forcalcia, a motion to intervene. And I believe that before we decide the facts that were presented to the city commission, which I believe was basically a fraud, to keep this board from hearing what was going on, they said that we were going to settle. There was supposedly a settlement agreement, that we were all in agreement that everybody was going to settle. There was no opposition from council. It was all agreed upon that there was no nobody was going to oppose it. I was going to pay a fine as the tenant, which is, this makes it in a very unusual case, because it's not often that a tenant will come forward and say, I am the violator. I'm going to pay the fine. And that's the whole question that needs to be decided today is, am I the violator? Because it was Bad Boy Saloon's banners that were up, and I'm the person that did not take the banners down. And because I am the violator, and because I have an interest in the outcome of the decision, I am definitely being affected by it, because I can't participate in any of the outside events for the next 3 years. based on the written agreement that we had with City Council that there was going to be no opposition. I went out and rented a parking lot next door for $106,000. That's non-refundable. And I can't participate and use that parking lot because City Council or the City Commission, miracle of miracles, they couldn't agree on anything from 6 o'clock in the evening to a quarter to 11 at night. Quarter to 11 at night, I step forward. I'm prepared to pay the fine, go forward with the settlement agreement. It was a settlement agreement. It wasn't an action. This was an opportunity to try and settle a case rather than litigate it because there's a lot of issues open for litigation that a lot of attorneys have expressed interest in litigating, but when they call and speak to City Council or somebody in the city, somehow or another, they lose their interest in going forward because of political reasons. Now, the point that I'm trying to say is when I got up and I spoke before the City Commission, nobody could agree to anything. All of a sudden now, miracle, miracles, nine people in a room, six commissioners, city mayor, city manager, city council, said nothing. I believe that there was an agreement before I got there for nobody to say anything, and that's a violation of the Sunshine Act, which I think everybody's familiar with. This is supposed to be a committee that deals with bringing places into compliance, not to punish people. I'm being punished because there was a code violation and because my landlord was served rather than me, because I am the violator, and the statute specifically states the violator must be served with a copy of the notice. I was never served with a copy of the notice. And had it been served with a copy of notice, I would have moved on immediately like I did when this gentleman over here, is another code enforcement officer, came and gave me notice of speakers being in violation. They immediately said, wait here, I'll take the speakers down. And they did. He chose to leave, but I did take the speakers down and remedied it as quick as could be. Within hours, the whole thing was taken care of. So that's the way I take care of things. And there was another violation that I was served a notice with, and that it said that the balcony was in disrepair. And within 10 days, I went and got an architect to draw up a set of plans.
None of those things are before us.
Okay, it may not be before us, but I'm giving you a little bit of background.
Okay.
Because the point that I'm trying to bring out is Mr. Morris, who did not represent me, and I believe could have been a conflict of interest, he was the one that spoke before you. I didn't really speak because I was led to believe that we were all in agreement. We were going to make a settlement. And settlements cannot be used in court cases because it's a settlement. So I'm assuming that we have a settlement on record and we're going forward legitimately. I'm believing City Council is going to stand by what they sat down and wrote out. We hammered this deal out for a course of maybe a week or so. And I'm assuming that everybody's going to stand by what they say and do what they say. So I'm assuming that there was no opposition. I didn't have an attorney. And I appeared before the City Commission with no attorney, prepared to make a settlement. We didn't ask the City Commission to move on any decisions regarding the code enforcement violation. So now what we have before you is a motion that I put together requesting immediate action because it's an emergency motion that was dated back in December. Here we are 2 months later now hearing it. And I'm saying that, you know, because Magistrate Vakelja recused himself, that hearing needs to be continued. The man admitted to the facts that he definitely could not participate as a neutral and impartial magistrate and recused himself. So that clock stops right there. Now it's up to this board to take the case forward and move on the motion for me to intervene. I believe everybody realizes that I do have an interest in the outcome of the decision. So I need the board to move on the motion for me to intervene. Once you intervene, and if you give me the right to intervene, then we need to address the issues of the orders that Magistrate Vakelja made. And that's where I stand.
Okay. Do we have comments from the board?
Now, intervene means what?
What do you mean by intervene?
The statute says that this is an interim action. Any action we take is action against the property owner.
Right.
Property owner was here at the last meeting. Property owner is not here tonight.
Right.
he would, by intervening, he would say that he would like to take the place of the property owner, and we don't have that. We don't have that. We don't have the property owner saying it's okay.
Right. Nor do we have the authority to do that.
I'm not asking you to move without the property owner being here. The property owner was not notified, and I've also been told that beforehand that this case isn't really going anywhere. So I'm a little concerned about, you know, these decisions that are made.
Who told you that?
An attorney told me that two days ago.
He spoke to
city council over here, Ms. Hartman, and she told him that it really wasn't going to go anywhere. So he told me it would be useless for him to show up and appear before this committee because it's not going
to
go anywhere.
That sounds like hearsay to
me. And I could take care of it myself. So if you believe it's hearsay, we could stop here. Well, we could start an investigation because I believe I have subpoena power, and we could start subpoenaing people before this committee.
Well, you know what? I'm not sure that this is what we need to hear about. What we're here to do is decide whether or not we want to hear this motion that is brought by you and not by the property owner.
Well,
and I have a hard time. You may be the owner of the business. That happens in many, many cases. A lot of cases that come before us. You can just look at the agenda for today. There are many cases that come before us where a tenant is involved in doing something that isn't right. We do not cite the tenant. We cite the property owner, and that's where we have our jurisdiction.
Well,
I do not believe that you have standing, this is my opinion, that you have standing to come before us. You are not the property owner.
According to Chapter 160, I do have standing. And the chapter statute, which is a state statute, reads, the violator must be served with notice of violation. Not the landlord or the property owner, because
the property
Attorney
owner.
General Bondi already decided this issue in an advisory opinion.
Okay.
And she made a distinction between the violator could be the tenant, or the violator could be a landowner. So she's already defined the word violator as could be the tenant that violates the code, or could be the landowner that violates the code. And it was only amended to include the landowner when they realized that the tenants weren't paying the bills, so they had to put all of their liability in the landowner. So they never changed the word violator. They left the word violator there, and then they chose to serve the landowner in order to get jurisdiction over the landowner, since where they could collect the money that's accrued from the code violations. Now, it's always been past history that the statute reads violator. I am the violator. I am before you. And what we need to decide here is, do I have an interest in the outcome of this hearing? I believe I do.
No, we don't decide who has an interest. That is not our purview.
There was a motion that was put before Judge Magistrate Vakelja that Ms. Truelove put in. Timely's put that motion in and forwarded it to Magistrate Vakelja that has not been ruled on by Magistrate Vakelja because he recused himself because of the conflict of interest that he admitted to. So now the duty of this committee is to decide, do I have an opportunity to intervene on the motion that Magistrate Vakelja did not rule on? That is my standing on being here. And if the landowner...
Do you have permission from the property owner to be here? Usually that's, well, you know, if you had his permission to be here, then I don't see a problem that way. But if you're interested, the property owner's interests are not the same. I don't see where we have standing.
I have standing because I have a business that if I can't go forward because of the outcome of the violation.
Then your action will be against the property owner, not against us. You can't do what you're, you know, I'm not giving you legal advice. But the question is, do we have standing to go forward when you're not the property owner?
I believe you do, because Chapter 160 says that.
I don't see anywhere in 162 it says that. I got 162 right in front of me.
If you give me a moment,
sure.
I'll refer to my records, my notes, and I'll show you where you have authority on that.
Good.
Would you give me a few minutes? Could we take a short recess?
Right here.
Okay. Well, I have the statute. I also have notes which refer to case law.
Why don't you get a few minutes? Let's hear the position of the city. See the position on this.
Yeah, it's my understanding the motion is to set aside that the orders of Mr. Vekelja that were entered finding the 601 Main Street in noncompliance. Those orders were entered prior to Mr. Vekelja recusing himself. Any orders going forward after he recused himself would be void, but those orders are in place, and there's no standing to challenge those orders here today.
I don't see how we have the authority to overturn Mr. Vekelja's orders prior to Mr. Vekelja recusing himself.
Well, if the act of prejudice precedes the orders that were taken by the magistrate or the state judge, were done before he made his decision, the courts have ruled that because he steps down and he recuses himself, that there's a chance, and a very good chance, that those orders were prejudicial, and they need to, there's called, it's an annullity. I gave it to you in an email.
Mr. DeRosa.
The statute says it. It's not that I'm saying it. The statute says it.
No, I don't have any such legal opinion in front of me.
I'll give me one moment.
No.
We need to end this.
I don't have anything in front of me. The only thing that's in front of me is whether or not we hear this motion. And there is nothing else in front of me I can't deal with. None of us can deal with any of the other things that, you know, you have said and how you've been wronged. It is not up to this board to do anything. At this point,
if the board refuses to act, I cannot change that. The only thing I'm telling
Correct.
You is that the statute says the violator must be notified. If
that's
you choose,
is that, you're here, so you obviously were notified.
Okay, and the other thing is that you know you have the authority from the state statutes and state case law and state and federal constitution to act, and here. The orders that Judge Vekelja ruled on.
That's where I have a problem, Mr. DeRosa. What authority does this board have to rule Mr. Vekelja's orders before he recused himself? I understand after. Because after he recused himself, he shouldn't be making any orders.
But
I don't understand why we have the authority to recuse himself if something happened before that.
As an attorney, just bear with me a little bit, because I'm upset because I feel that I have a big interest involved here. I don't have an attorney standing.
We appreciate it. That's why we're listening to
you. I can argue. I can give you an intelligent argument. I can give you the case law. I can give you the statutes. I can give you the information if you want to see that. The point that I'm saying is when a person is making decisions and they find out that the prejudicial act precedes his decision, it's assumed that he has not been impartial. Because he's admitted to the facts that I alleged for him being impartial was he was representing parties that were in an adversary capacity against me that go back 2 years ago, and he had deposed me only as early as a couple of months before he made his decision. So he knew who I was. He knew he was representing parties that were involved with me. The case is before the Bar Association. He's under investigation through the Bar Association. I don't know if he's told you that or not, but I notified the Bar Association, and the Bar Association served him with a copy of the complaint that I filed with them. He has only a couple of days left to answer that complaint. So the Bar Association is investigating this. They took it upon themselves to believe that there's something serious going on here. The magistrate should not have taken the case, just like Ms. Ouija said she had a conflict of interest with a possible neighbor, and she passed the gavel to Ms. Himes. That's what Magistrate Vekelja should have done. When he knew that he was in an adversary capacity against me as a private attorney, representing people I had to have a conflict with, that were in a business relationship with me, he acted in the capacity as an adversary. And if you act in a capacity as an adversary against somebody that's before you, you're not considered to be fair and impartial. And the remedy is to recuse yourself. Now, if he's already made orders, knowing that he should have been recusing himself, those orders are subject to be reviewed, and that's state statute.
But not by us.
No,
but... Do you feel that those orders that are done by the code enforcement board, go to magistrate, appeal to the circuit court, not to us.
No, no. When he recuses himself, what he's required to do.
No, but that's not what you're asking. You're saying that orders that were done prior to the recusal. And I respect the incumbent, and I appreciate that, sir. But you're saying orders prior to the recusal should not be legal because there was a taint on them because of the fact that he recused
well,
himself.
With the court
saying that's fine, and that may very well be true, but that's not something we can overturn.
Okay, well, it's called a de novo hearing. I'm entitled to a de novo hearing on those orders. And what I have been saying since the time I had presented my paperwork to Ms. Hampton is that I need to, Mr. Vekelsia should have passed his case on relating to the violations to a magistrate or to another state judge that has the authority that he has as a magistrate to overturn his decision if they find the decision was wrongfully reached. And that's always been my contention from day one. I feel a little awkward that I have to come to the city and explain to the city procedure. But I do understand that it doesn't happen that often where a magistrate will recuse himself. This in itself is a unique situation. How often do you get a tenant coming before you saying, let me pay the fine? Full fine, $15,000. Let me pay it. I'm accepting all responsibility. But because of the prejudices that the city has displayed against me, they refusing me to even allow me to pay the fine. And if I pay the fine, the violation goes away. But their objective is to keep me from conducting business on Main Street, which is a disgrace. How do you have a city fighting a business owner?
It's not against you. The order of noncompliance is against the property owner. The property owner needs to come in here and ask for a waiver.
Well,
and I don't think that the statute allows, the city ordinance allows us to give a waiver to the property owner, to the property owner.
The only thing that I'm asking you to do is decide the motion, only to decide the motion to allow me to intervene as a party of interest.
And that's what we're saying we cannot do.
If you have the authority to do that.
Yeah, we can. Whether they're going to intervene or not, we have that. But we can make a vote on that.
Right. Do I have any comments from the board? Would the city like to make any additional comments?
My only other comment is the motion set was this motion to set aside and reassign the new magistrate. So.
Well,
say that again, please.
I believe I guess he could be making an ore tenis motion to intervene, but the agenda states that he's here on a motion to set aside and recuse or reassign a new magistrate. So I guess I'm a little confused about.
Wouldn't that be the city's responsibility if they have a magistrate, if they want to hire another magistrate, that's up to them. The question is whether we want to take jurisdiction, we want to hear the case. Right. And to overturn the decisions that were previously made, which I'm not so sure we can do. But it's up to the board.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to not intervene in this case as it stands.
Second.
So the motion is to deny any intervention
right.
by the tenant.
To motion to not intervene on behalf of the. Yes, we're denying the request to intervene.
But we previously made a motion in the last meeting to hear it.
Based upon a stipulation.
Which
did not take place. So you want to make a motion to set aside our previous action?
I think that would be.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do a motion. Then let's withdraw the motion.
All right, I'm going to withdraw that motion.
To make a motion. Whoever's on the positive side to make a motion to rehear that original decision.
I would like to make a motion to set aside the motion of January 14th to hear this,
right.
to accept the jurisdiction.
So moved.
Okay. Do I have a second? Can I second? Yeah, because I'd make. I'll second it.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed.
Okay, so we swipe the clean. So I'm ready to deal with her motion. That's what I wanted to do.
So 5 to 1.
5 to 1.
So the previous...
Yeah, based upon the fact that the previous motion to intervene to was based upon a stipulation, it did not happen. So he asked that we be reconsidered and that it be swiped clean, and that's what we just voted on. Now we need to do with her motion.
Could I ask a question?
Not yet.
Okay.
So right now, the motion would be that we are going to deny the emergency motion to set aside and reassign a new magistrate by the applicant because he is not the property owner. Is that?
Well, let me just make it simple. Just motion to deny the request of the tenant.
Motion to deny the request of the tenant. All right. We have a motion from Mrs. Hines. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. So we've denied your motion, sir.
Okay, you've denied the motion for the emergency hearing. Now,
yes.
There's a second motion that was put before you to participate in outside events, the waiver. It's on the calendar is item number 2, I believe.
Well, we haven't taken jurisdiction, and we can't deal with the waiver issue.
Yeah, but you took jurisdiction previously.
And then they went based upon the fact that there was a stipulation.
Okay.
It didn't take place.
But the point that I want to make is that you based your decision to take jurisdiction on this in response to what Mr. Morris said to you. Mr. Right. Morris was not retained by me to speak to you on behalf of my motion that was before you. So I believe Mr. Morris may have stepped over his boundaries as an attorney by representing someone that wasn't retained to him and made you move on something that, based on his statements to you, you moved on, and now you're turning around and saying you don't want to take the jurisdiction because Mr. Morris
no,
decided
we don't
not
want to
show
take
up.
The jurisdiction because you are not the property owner.
You don't have to be the property owner in order,
that's
in order
your opinion.
To ask to be a concerned
that
party.
That is your opinion.
I am the violator, and as the violator, I should have been notified.
I understand that, but Mr. DeRosa, the statute is set up that it's an interim, it's an action against the property owner. And I appreciate where you're coming from,
right.
And I understand what you're saying. But we have this situation. The way the statute is set up is that we can't go after the tenants. We only can go after the violator, the property owner.
Okay.
That's the way the statute
but,
is set up.
But as an attorney, and hear me out, you don't. This board doesn't have the authority to deviate from the statute.
Right.
And it specifically states the statute must be abided by, and nobody could deviate from it. The statute reads simply, very clearly, the violator must be served with the notice of the violation. It doesn't
That's
spell
we're
out.
We're talking about service. We're not talking about the action of the order. The order was not against you, sir. It was against the property owner.
But had that been served properly from the beginning, I would have been a party to the action. But the issue, the point that I'm trying to say is that the land development code automatically kicks in when there's a violation. So I'm being denied due process by the land development code, and let's not point the fingers at the city, because I don't want to point fingers at anybody and then leave the room and be accused of maybe wrongfully pointing a finger. And it's possible maybe that if everybody's here and really has an interest in trying to see that the city does good business, maybe we can clear it out now. The point is the land development code says when there's a violation, then that property cannot participate in outside event for 3 years. That in itself is a denial of due process.
But that's not in front of us. That may very well be true.
But it's something that should be considered when I leave. When I leave, maybe we'll say, you know what, something wasn't right. I'm being denied the opportunity to participate in the
greatest
event that's ever come by the city. And if you are the city, then you're denying it to me because you have the authority by Magistrate Vakelja passing the case on to you. I believe that authority is in your hands, and you're just refusing to exercise that authority.
No, I don't believe that's the case. And we have ruled on it, and I'd like to move on.
Then are you ruling that Magistrate Vakelja should not have...
No, I'm not ruling anything. I don't think this board ruled anything about
I've been addressing this issue to Ms. Hampton for quite some time, saying that we need to go before a magistrate or a state court. And because...
When you say we, that would be the property owner.
No, I'm saying me as... Well, the property owner supports me in paying the fine. He wants me to pay the fine because it alleviates him of the liability of paying the fine. He had no objective...
Then you pay the fine.
But I'm saying the property owner had no objection.
Well, we have made... All right, okay. We have made our decision that we are not going to hear this.
Okay, so then you proved the attorney that told me that I was coming into a dead committee, and they weren't going to move on it. It's basically, you've proven it because you do have the authority.
According to you.
According to Magistrate Vakelja. He passed it on to the Code Enforcement Board to make a decision. And you're required to look at the hearing, look at the order that Magistrate Vakelja ruled on. You're required to do that by law, and you're refusing to do it. I'm explaining it to you as a pro se litigant. I am not an attorney, but it's that clear when you read the case law and you read the statute.
And it's clear to me that the only cases that we hear are cases that involve the property owner.
Okay, Ms. Kunde.
Are we going to discuss this all morning long?
No, in fact, we're not. We're done discussing it.
The only point that I'm saying is that you're making such a decision that's affecting me and everybody that works for me and Main Street in itself, that what would it take to take a few minutes to hear this out? You know, you guys are the committee.
Think we've had a vote, and the case is closed.
Okay. I accept it. I have to leave. Thank you.
Good luck, those.
Do we have any miscellaneous business to attend to?
I would just say that this happens again. We need to cut it off. Instead of just talking, whether it was a good or a bad thing, we have to take control of the situation. In my opinion.
Okay.
You're right, Tim, but we're just trying to be polite.
I know, but...
Okay.
I understand that it was a little bit of a question.
All right, meeting's adjourned.